Welcome to another episode of the Real World Assets Show. Join us on our journey to tokenize the world. Let's roll. Hello again, and welcome back to another episode of the Real World Assets Show. Today, we have a special guest. We have Thomas Tallis from TWIN. Welcome, sir.
Thank you so much, Travis. Great to be here.
Likewise. So I've been following your project. Started this early in 2023, so before people were using the RWA acronym, right? So I really was looking forward to this conversation and getting into what you guys are doing at TWIN, the unique spelling of TWIN, which is T-V-V-I-N, which I know the background to that, but I want to talk through some of that. But why don't you give us a little background on yourself, how this got going? I know you're not new to the blockchain world, but maybe give us a quick intro on Thomas and what you're doing. And as the co-founder, I know we don't have Lisa, and I've communicated with her, Lisa Vessel, as your co-founder. Both of you have significant background in Web2 businesses as well as Web3. Right. And this is a massive success so far, but you're just getting started at TWIN. So I'll turn it over to you.
That's great. So prior to me coming into this space, which has been now several years or a few years, so I co-founded, successfully built up and exited experiential marketing agencies throughout the Nordics. So that's what I commenced if we go back to the early noughties. And around 2016, I really understood that there's been something that's been with me for a long time, which is I'm passionate about creating novel tools, financial tools that can be accessible in a widespread way, and actually offer better options or at least more options to what has been consistent from the conventional side of financial services, really, in my opinion, for too long. So in 2016, beginning of 2017, I took an initial project to the FCA in London, which is the regulator in London. We were funded. And this was an alternative way for people to contribute to their pensions or to their latter day savings. And it was to give the project its credit, it was very successful. We got far. But in those sort of, call it those early days, and probably even today, the FCA would still, you know, to a certain extent, have the same response. But certainly back then, they didn't really have any inkling on a time frame on when we would be able to be operational under license. So that obviously was, you know, how long was a piece of string, and there was no answer. So that meant that the project, unfortunately, had to be then put down. But the fortunate part was I learned so much, and that I continued to, with this red thread, and this red thread is still existing today with TWIN, my journey then through being in crypto and with this, as I said, personal passion to create what I see as much needed alternative investment tools has continued. So we, you know, this is really the you know, when I look back, it's great to see that where I started and when I sort of jumped into this space, that same core ethos is still with me and certainly very much part of TWIN.
Yes, that's become apparent from me following the project, and that's exciting. As we know, the best learnings are always from the projects that don't necessarily work out, right? So
there is, yeah, I mean, it is. You've got to take the rough with the smooth, and you will have to fall down many times before you understand how to stand upright. And especially when it comes to regulatory, the regulatory side, you know, there is actually no better way than to have had experience from before. So when you know now with TWIN, we know, you know, we know certain points that, you know, even if it takes longer, even if it means that it's going to require more resource, you're going to have to just do it. So, you know, that's invaluable. And it's also now providing TWIN with that much needed sort of prior experience for TWIN to accelerate at the speed it's going.
Beautiful. I think just a quick aside, why don't we get a little bit of the background of, and this just goes into, I can appreciate this. I've spent a lot of time in marketing and sales, and you know the unique spelling of TWIN. I think
right.
TVVIN. I'd love to just share with the listeners a little bit about that backstory there.
Sure. So the purpose of the brand, the idea came because what are we doing? We are essentially taking a physical asset. We're beginning with gold. And we are, if you like, sort of rolling out a digitalized twin, something that is reflecting in terms of value, in terms of quality, exactly what the physical asset holds. So the two V's, if you like, are the twins. If you had, you know, Travis, if you had a twin brother or sister, you know, they are, you know, intrinsically connected with you. You can't separate you and your twin. And so that is the two V's. One is the asset and one is the token. And you can't separate them because they are one-to-one locked together.
I love that. I love that. I think continuing on from this concept of how it's locked together, and obviously this is the Real World Assets show. So most of our listeners, you know, are somewhat versed on definitions of blockchain and real world assets. So we don't need to get into simplicity there. But I think from the understanding of where the real world assets growth has kind of the trajectory that's happened and kind of the inflows that have happened, I'd say in 2024 specifically, obviously it's been building up, but I think I'd like to just kind of take a little bit of a step back just into the macro of where you are at TWIN right now and how you see this fitting into the macro. And then we can talk a little bit about how those changes are affecting everybody.
Right. Well, I mean, On that point, I like to sort of draw sort of people back a little bit, you know, further back to sort of around about the 2014 era where Tether first took its concept to the regulator in BVI, and successfully then, you know, that was their point where they started to launch with what really I would say is one of the first examples of a real world asset. So that is really where it started. I mean, it's no secret that institutions have been actually tokenizing, or they would probably refer it to at least back then as fractionalization, certain real world assets. But it's always been done in closed circles for their key corporate clients. It's never only very recently have we then, because the advancement of blockchain and what we can now see as excellent development tools. It's only now that we are moving very fast where the tokenization of certain assets are now able to be offered in a much, much wider audience, certainly not in a closed room, but actually publicly, where anyone who wants to can take advantage of the assets that are being presented.
Agree. Yeah. And that's a great point. Ultimately, stable coins are the first, the OG of real world assets. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
There's no debating that. And, you know, still ultimately it's about 99% of all real world assets, you know, so we're in a very early stages of what this means right now. I mean,
sure.
Would you agree with that?
But also what I find very encouraging for the whole topic of real world assets, look at the impact that fiat backed stable coins have had. In crypto, I mean, the majority of trading is stablecoin. So that should just give everybody the confidence that once you start to then fill this space with more more RWA backed assets, what we can expect to see, because it's clear that the dawn of say Tether and other stablecoins has had an enormous positive impact. I mean, we wouldn't be able to do what we are able to do without it. It's that simple. If you then start to bring in other others, like, you know, gold-backed RWAs, like with our BVG token, it starts to become clearer and clearer just how much growth potential we have. We're still at a point where there is so much more to be enjoyed and gained, and certainly real world asset tokens are going to have a ever increasing and important role within the sort of the macro trade on chain.
I definitely agree. I think the and we've seen that with the Biddle Fund. Obviously, you know, can't go through too many episodes without talking about BlackRock and, you know, their impact into this business so far. But even their the recent announcement in March, and you know, it's only been a little over a month, but ultimately they were even just about 10 days ago able to settle funds directly into stable coins. So they, you know, that was a really a milestone type event, because ultimately everything was done on chain and you were able to then settle into a stable coin, you know, derivative, you know, which is important to.
Yeah, I mean, it just demonstrates just how right the temperature is. I mean, let's be honest, BlackRock doesn't do anything unless it understands that it's going to be in their favor. So the fact that they've taken such a sort of concrete, and in terms of being bullish on real world asset and the whole business of tokenization, the fact that they're so bullish, you know, every time you sort of watch a Larry Fink interview, you know, he's making it very clear that, you know, the ETF phase is really just the entree. You know, what's coming now is really the main course and the pudding, and then some. So, you know, it's always very astute. Whether we personally like the big institutions or not, that doesn't matter. But it's very astute to watch what are they doing, because that is telling it's giving very clear signals. And like I said, you know, they would not proceed by making such, you know, important and novel moves unless they understood that there was something worth having. So I'm very bullish when I see, every time I see, and it's not just BlackRock, but every time I see, you know, that the CEOs of these institutions, you know, coming on and making such statements, it just reinforces that we're exactly in the right space and at the right time.
100%. And I think, to your point, you love or hate specific institutions, for whatever reason, that's not the part of this podcast, but ultimately it is important to follow what they're doing. And realistically, and this has been the biggest knock on, you know, crypto in general, which is, there's a very clear difference between real world asset tokenization and crypto. You know, one is obviously tied to actual real asset valuation. The other, it can be very speculative in its own ecosystem. So I think it's important that we make a little bit of a designation with that too, because, you know, I think that's one of the things with new listeners to the channel are always curious of how this is different than crypto, you know, or most time they don't even have that question. Of course, it's just, this is crypto, but crypto is a component, but it's not really the leading indicator here.
No, this is more to do with blockchain. You're so right. And we are now, our position is that really, if we were to choose, and I get asked this question now more and more, you know, are we from TradFi or are we sort of coming from the other side? And because of the assets that we're tokenizing, we are leaning much more towards the TradFi. Because when I speak to my institutional contacts, they're really focused on what's behind our tokens. That's what matters to them. And, you know, the ones that I'm speaking to who are already now giving us advanced orders on our gold token, they per se don't actually, or still haven't, you know, invested into, say, Bitcoin. Or maybe that's not the right example, but at least other cryptocurrencies. Because they look at cryptocurrencies and they say, well, what's behind it? Often it's nothing more than a perception and a belief, and of course that does matter, but for a lot of these institutions, and of course don't forget these institutions are run where they have to comply with certain standards internally. There are boards that make decisions. It's never just one person that is making a decision. So it is the dawn of real world asset tokenization, and especially when we are talking about assets that for them they're very well versed in. You don't need to explain the value of gold or silver. You know, this is something that Now, they've been doing long before actually I came about. It's a very, I'm very comfortable with the fact that actually, you know, and it's not just Twin, but in our space, we are helping to bring the TradFi and the decentralized side together, or at least meeting at points that make sense for both sides.
I love that. And I think that is a very key point, because it's not one or the other. As you mentioned, right, a lot of where the opportunity lies currently, and this goes back to, again, just the macro of, you know, we see a lot of inflows into Bitcoin ETF, that was a big windfall event of really bringing in new public investing, you know, and this is similar to what you're talking about, but in a DeFi related mechanism where you're able to connect retail with TradFi. And that's really an exciting part of what blockchain brings to this and what Twin is bringing to this. And I think the other thing that, you know, we'll talk about in a minute is just the psychology of, and even the common ground that you provide at Twin with precious metals, specifically gold. And I think that's an important thing we'll talk about in a minute. But I think lastly, to your point about how institutions think, I mean, one perfect example is we looked at MicroStrategy and how Michael Saylor would have Bitcoin on their books. And right, that was just like a horrendous thing. I mean, almost every other institution and other corporations, you know, were horrified by that.
Yeah.
And to your point, like, that's exactly how institutions operate. You know, for them to say, hey, I have Ethereum on my books, or even Cardano or whatever, that's just, you know, even though many of us who have been in this space are comfortable with those assets and see, you know, value and how they can be applied, it's not necessarily something that even remotely would be something that the risk tolerance is not there for institutions.
Totally concur. Absolutely. And again, yeah, this is all about adoption, because, you know, Twin is here to facilitate mass adoption, whether that's institutional, but also crucially retail. So, yep, you know, if we step back and think to ourselves, what's going to actually help facilitate mass adoption? It is bringing in other assets, you know, where, as I said, you know, a few minutes ago, they have been around for, you know, since DOT. They're understood, they've been traded, and now through the advancement of blockchain and the technology that we now have available to us, that now suddenly they're able to come on chain, and I'm really excited how it's going to change how people view outside of financial services, because from my chats, they're not ignoring it, they want in. And actually, this has been what they've been waiting for. They've been waiting for the right moment for them to justify why they're coming in. This is going to be the next few years are going to be so, so exciting.
Very, very. I think this is a perfect segue into like the adoption curve and this discussion, kind of bringing a couple of the breadcrumbs we've already placed here in this conversation. Is stablecoins. Everybody knows what a dollar is, you know, whether it's a dollar, yeah, in Norway, a dollar in the United States, et cetera. But the equivalent of the dollar in your jurisdiction. So stablecoins are just a representation of that, similar to what Twin is providing, the two Vs with the twins of, you know, digital and physical assets. It's stablecoins are an acceptable thing, doesn't require any explanation. You know, how you put it in your wallet and different things, of course, we won't get into those technicalities, but the sense of understanding what a dollar is and understand the value of a dollar, that's established. And I think the adoption curve next, and that's why I like where you've gone with Twin and the thesis, is gold is hard to argue to be the next thing that I think has a common ground among institutions and retail. And I think we're talking about both those prongs and marrying them together and providing that TradFi DeFi opportunity. And I think gold is a perfect gateway.
Again, totally concur. You know, this is it's clear that there is unprecedented demand for gold. It's going up. I actually can't really add anything more to what you just said, because everything you said is so right. So yeah, we're it's again just going back. It's, you know, maybe 9 months or, you know, a little bit before, we would have been a little bit premature. But this is in terms of timing and how, when we're now entering and bringing our products on chain, it's perfect. It's what is wanted. As I said, it's almost like it's been written in destiny for Twin. It's like it's meant to happen now, and it certainly is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think where I would like, maybe we could talk a little bit about the difference of, I know we're talking about how gold and Twin is tokenizing gold, and how this is the first step for you? And also, how does this compare to someone that wants to invest in gold separately? You know, so someone says, okay, great, this sounds exciting, but I'm not 100% convinced. Why can't I just, you know, purchase gold in general? I can do that already. You know, what's the difference? What are the benefits?
So we are very ambitious. We made it very clear in our communication that we are and we will embrace multiple different real world assets. But we are very, very fortunate to have a substantial and exclusive partnership where the quantity and the quality of the precious metals, because it's not just gold, but gold is where we're starting, it's our MVP, is tremendous. So if you're lucky enough, Travis, to own a gold bar, that's great. And if the gold market is going up, and we are going to be following the LBMA market, which is a specific market to gold that is LBMA certified, and we can go into what that actually means in a minute. But if the market is going up, then of course your gold is increasing in price. And of course, if the market then takes a slight dip, then you have to ride down with the market. But your asset is static. You know, in one year's time, if we were to speak, you would still have the same kilo of gold. What we are now able to provide under licensing, because this is why it's so important, when you know that we've been doing all of the pre-work and the prep work with regulatory authorities and understanding the landscape there. But under licensing, we will be able to then invite you to put your gold token, which is, say, the equivalent to 1 kilo, keep the same ratio. Put your gold token into what we call our digital vaults. Now, we've already got heads of terms with a significant offshore merchant bank. They have given us a LTV, which is a loan to ratio, of 85-15. So let's say that your 1 kilo of gold is worth this is not what it's worth, but let's just say it's 100,000, just to keep the figure simple. What it means is that with your permission, of course, because you have, you know, you've gone into the vault, our digital vault, and you've decided how long you want to stay locked up in that vault. We then take the gold, the underlying asset, and we put that down as collateral using the partnership with the bank. We are then able to take a loan from that gold. And if it was 100,000, we'll be then able to borrow $85,000, for example, in loan. What is also very I'm sure your listeners will find very interesting is that the percent to borrow is minimal. It's only 1 to 1.5%. Why is the bank able to offer such a low rate of interest? It's because gold right now is probably, in the way that the bank sees, the most valuable, the most important asset. And therefore, by putting that down as collateral, you're getting the very best terms. So with that loan that we then take through the gold that sits as collateral, we're then able to work in the UST bills, for example, where we could then buy rolling bonds if we look at, say, a 3-month maturity, they're paying out roughly 5.5% or 6%. So it's not the world's biggest return. Nevertheless, it's a solid return. And one could say that it's probably at the safer end of the spectrum, because the probability that the interest will be paid out is high. So with that mechanism that I've just described, the platform then retains some of the upside, some of the APY, but crucially, you as the token holder that put your gold token into our digital vault also gets an upside. So thereby your gold, because you still own gold, you just own it through our token, your gold is actually earning passive income. That's the key difference. So yeah. Right, so when we then talk in a year's time, your kilo is no longer a kilo, it's more. Because of the ability for you to have placed it down, we then work it for you in the conventional side of the market. And we are able to then earn an APY, which is then shared. And of course, I've talked about T-bills, but you know, depending on the risk appetite that our users have, we can then obviously look to other verticals where the risk reward, of course, is different. So it's a higher risk, but potentially a higher reward. But it may be that you play it very sort of conservative at the start. You go with what we consider to be at the safer end of the spectrum. But then the APY that you earn on that, that's actually something you wouldn't have had if you were holding physical. So maybe then you could take that, which we would just call the cherry on the cake, and then you put that cherry in the cake into more risk averse, also more riskier channels, because you know really your principal is not being affected. So this is really now where we are then leaning into the DeFi side, because this is taking what is a tradition, you know, traditionally is a valuable asset, gold, but we're now allowing holders of our token to potentially earn a yield on their gold holding. You know, so it's helping to manage and increase wealth. And this is definitely something that I know that the institutions see as being a very favorable reason for why they should now adopt a tokenized position. But really where I'm passionate is that imagine it's not so much about making the institutions more, because they're very good at doing that on their own. But it's really about you're giving tools, you're giving options. And this goes back to what I was saying at the start, which is where this red thread comes back in. You're giving tools and options to retail that just wouldn't have the same ability if they have gold to see that gold grow.
Yeah, that's well said. And I think the visual there of the red thread really helps symbolize this too. As you mentioned, it's when you look at the financial value, I kind of visualize that red thread that you're bringing up is, you know, the value proposition through financial instruments has been very limited for the personal retail investor, or even just a person looking to maximize their retirement or maximize, sure, you know, returns. And this is what DeFi is doing. You know, it seems a little scary, but ultimately it is unlocking. And I you made a good point there about how that brings it together.
Yeah. And also it's the options that we have or have had up until now, they're all denominated in that, you know, your base is whatever fiat currency you have, whether it's dollar or yen or pound. So that then implies that the value of that fiat also has to be sustained or is sustainable. Right. Our base, our starting point is gold. So if gold actually is a safer store of value in terms of maintaining over time its value and not suffering from, for example, the same inflation that fiat is suffering from, the APY you're earning on, yes, we're using fiat in a loan format to go and work the markets, but we must make it very clear to your listeners or to your viewers that actually the starting base is not a fiat asset, it's gold. So that is also a huge this again hasn't yet been seen before. So these new tools that we are implementing and rolling out also are hugely not only exciting and different, but their anchor or the starting point is in a different asset to what we would normally start with, which is fiat.
That's a great point. And we don't have to convince anyone that currently inflation is a major problem. I mean, in particular here in the US, Yeah, I mean, and I'll give you the one soapbox comment, but I mean, ultimately, even for the United States, I mean, it's arguably all in inflation is probably in the 12-15%, you know, on a high end, you know. So, to your point, putting yourself into hard assets like gold, and then having a DeFi mechanism on top of that allows you to essentially, you know, hedge against all of these problems that fiat will bring, because having your money in fiat only, which is most of the options for people, as you know, right now, that aren't in DeFi, you know, they're looking at a inflation adjusted return. You know, even if the return is not over 12%, you know, that's my personal opinion, and I know there's different data points out there. I know the government has different view on this, but if you don't have a return over 12%, it's a net negative.
Exactly. A great point. So, I draw reference to diversification. It's, you know, it's always sensible to diversify. So we're not suggesting that people forget or come out entirely of current positions. So it goes back to this word that I used earlier, it's options.
Right.
There's no better way to allow people to move up in terms of their wealth management, their wealth creation, than providing more options. The more options that people have, the more likely actually they will see a decent return. So it's not to point fingers and say one is better than the other. We avoid that because that's not really the point. We're only interested in what we are creating and the value that what we're creating actually then adds to the diversification, which I think is so important.
Well said. Well said. And to your point, you know, you have a bold mission of probably having other things that you'll tokenize in the future. But I think this also kind of is worth noting that there are several projects that I talked to that, you know, in several verticals within the RWA space. Mm. And this just goes back to the options point that you make, because most of these projects that are a little more exotic, so to speak, you know, not like gold, they're not going to necessarily attract institutional investors today or in the next 6 months or year. However, there are plenty of risk on maybe early crypto people or, you know, early pioneers into tech and blockchain that have the appetite, to your point, of options. It's diversification. You know, investing in TWIN is a much more stable part, for example. I mean, this is just using a hypothesis here, but in the sense of options, you know, say, hey, you have some money in fiat and some traditional things you're already doing. Like you said, you don't necessarily want to break that, but then you're looking at other ways to diversify, and maybe that's tokenized gold. And then maybe you have a small amount, you know, your returns that you get with your tokenized gold and your token, you know, you spin that into something, or, you know, you get a higher yield, you can take loans. You can use some of your returns into getting into some exotic things that you feel are going to work, and you can get maybe some really high returns there. But you obviously are taking a significant more risk because you realize that institutions and, you know, larger players aren't necessarily vetting that yet.
Right, well said. Because what you just described are mechanisms where people control what they want to do. This is really important. It's not a centralized investment firm basically telling you what they are doing on your behalf. You can do what you want to do. And it's like layers of a cake. So, the base is wider. Maybe that's where you play it, most conservative, because, you know, that would be probably a prudent strategy. But at the top of the cake, where the layer is the smallest, you can then, you know, look to see where whatever returns you've made, how that can perhaps push your return higher. But of course, if it doesn't work, because you're going into, you know, especially now we're talking about DeFi, if you're in more sort of riskier positions, if it doesn't work, it doesn't affect your principal at the bottom of the cake. So that's the, you know, I hope you understand my analogy, but it's, again, you know, we're talking about options, we're talking about diversification, and also we're talking about giving the power. And now we're going into retail, giving the power to the people who can actually help, you know, decide themselves what they think is best for them. But right now, if we were to, in theory, have the same financial tools that we've had, as I said, up until this point, even if they were somehow brought on chain, we need fresh blood to actually make the diversification more sensible, and also where there can be probable gains, yes, on the more conservative scale or the more conservative side of the scale. Also on the other side, where if it does work for you, then the gains are going to be higher. And then, like I said, you just decide where you actually put your position and how much you go on the conservative side or the more risky side. So this is what's going, this is what's evolving, and it's so satisfying when I ponder on what we're doing, and you know, if I'm out walking the dog or whatever it may be, just to realize that we are now contributing to new structures that once they become understood and they're being adopted in a widespread way, you know, it is an enormous opportunity that we're tapped into.
It is. And I think even just tying this back to what people may understand right now is people have forever looked at real estate as an investment. And that's been one of those things that, you know, I think I always like to tie this back, because I have a background in real estate, and looking at, there's so many ways to make money with real estate. You know, most of it's not flipping, obviously. Most of it's buying and hold strategy. It's right. It's taking your equity and rolling that into, you know, using that into invest in other properties. So I always like to make this connection in some ways, just because this is a lot what DeFi is. It's just it's opening up the playbook to so many other assets, so many different opportunities that people understood and have and currently understand. Similar, we talk about with stablecoins and gold, is, you know, they've seen real estate as an investment, as a stable investment, and as an ability to get an equity line to use that to leverage, you know, future investments. So I think this is just another newer and much more efficient way that you can do this without being a landlord or owning physical property.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, another example of where on-chain makes a lot of sense versus the physical position. So I've talked about how you can put your or will be able to put your gold token into our digital vaults, and how that can then see you earn an APY. But there's also another concept that we've been working on now for several months, which is, you know, it's similar, but it has a slightly different outcome. So you put your gold token into our digital vaults, but rather than putting the gold to work, or allowing us on your behalf to put the gold to work, as I explained, what about you? For you could then, using the same type of LTV ratios of 85-15, you could actually mint fiat-backed stablecoin based on the amount of gold that you put into your vault. Now, what this is actually would then be providing is that because I've been aware that for, you know, there'll be a lot of people that want to buy gold because they feel that's good for them. But what about if all they can afford to buy gold is that they still need to get by in their everyday. So it's not going to be everybody that can just buy gold to use it as some sort of trying to think of the word. My brain is frozen. Sort of like where you buy gold as an investment and you have it there just to hold it. It's your rainy day, or you're building up a portfolio. What about those that people that want gold, but at the same time, the whatever they buy the gold token with, really they also need that, or they might need it for their everyday. So if you could put your gold token into the digital vault, and rather than actually taking the option for us to work it, but actually could mint stablecoin or fiat-backed stablecoin, let's imagine where do you then go with that stablecoin? you could then use that for, because your car needs new tires, because you can, you know, or maybe you take that stablecoin because you know how to potentially make a higher APY in other places in DeFi, a higher APY than what we're able to offer, say, through the monetization model on T-bills. So this is also a concept that we also see will be wanted, simply because, you know, your starting base is gold, that doesn't change, but your ability then to, if you like, convert it back into fiat and to use it, and or to use the stable coin that you've minted and put it into other areas of DeFi that you think is going to work best for you, then you're also, again, this is just another example of where you have more options. You have the ability to you know, you're still using gold as your starting point, but rather than seeing the gold sit down as a collateral and for Twin to earn an APY on your behalf, you mint stablecoin and go out into DeFi and find the places where you think you can make more APY. So it's I hope that sort of demonstrates how we're thinking. It's not, you know, we'd be just as delighted if somebody didn't want to use our T-bill monetization model, but rather take the stablecoin that they can mint and go off and do what they think is best.
I love that. I mean, that definitely was where some of my thinking was going too. I'm glad you're thinking that way. And I, to your point, it's about options, and it's about, you know, the underlying, I think, why people are attracted to this space, aside from the options, is just the financial freedom aspect. It's just that umbrella of, you know, picking your options. You know, it's having the freedom to choose finance on your terms. And a lot of people do cloud that, and I think we've covered that at the beginning, but a lot of people cloud that as the future is financial freedom and it's without BlackRock. It's they're not one and the same. It's your path of financial freedom and their path of financial freedom will, you know, they're going to be parallel in many cases. Now your choices won't be parallel, but the path to where blockchain and tokenization is going will be quite parallel. But you'll be able to pick your options and pick your appetite, you know, for risk, as you mentioned. And I think I love how you explained that about being able to take that you have, you know, some type of stablecoin yield and or stablecoin. And then move that into other investments. I see that as a huge use case for sure.
Yeah, and of course, you know, I'm just again pointing out that using the monetization model that we would offer, of course, there is operational upside for Twin, but that's not what we would, you know, we want to offer other options where it's, you know, we wouldn't necessarily be having that upside, because you would leave with the you come out of the Twin. Sort of, you know, call it scope, and then take that stable coin that you have minted and go and do your own thing. But that's also equally good. You know, it's not for us necessarily or at all to be trying to sort of continually ask the users to be involved in our services. It's also about, you know, going back to options. If they want to buy our gold, that's amazing. If they then want to also mint stablecoin, you know, by putting their token into the digital vault, great. And if they then want to say, okay, I'm going to just take a trip outside Twin for a moment and go somewhere else because, you know, I know what I'm doing and I'm confident that this is going to work, then that's great too. So it's really about facilitating. We are facilitating the ability for people to. Be their own asset managers in one way, self-sufficient asset managers. Maybe that's a terminology that we should start using.
I love that. Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, I mean, you know, coming from your background, that when people feel locked in, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where you're convinced that Twin is providing a very stable platform to get involved in tokenized gold, and obviously the other things in the future. But as you mentioned, you know, having a project ethos that's, hey, we're looking to give you options, not lock you in. Yeah. I think the psychology there, even alone, I think will reap plenty of rewards for your project, because many people, as you know, probably won't want to get as exotic because they're sold on getting those returns and staying staying in those, you know, hardy returns in gold and in the twin eco. But ultimately giving them some options, and maybe they take a portion and do that at times, that just really is a great testament to how you're building and where you see the foundation of the project and where you see the industry going and where, you know, where people, what people want ultimately, like just human nature.
Yeah. I mean, and thank you that it's, absolutely. And yes, we agree that I think for the majority of people, we're all busy and you know, the day seem to get shorter and shorter, although it's still 24 hours in a day. It seems to, the probability that, you know, that, that those users who buy our token and want to see a yield return would opt for us to do it. I can see that being, you know, predominantly high, because it's also, you know, it's, we're then taking the asset and managing it on your behalf under licensing that, you know, that will be in place. But so it's not to say that I foresee that everybody will necessarily want to rush and mint stablecoin off of their gold that they have put into the vault and then go into the DeFi space to work it where they think it's best to work it. Nevertheless, if some that are better versed and have got a background and are much more comfortable because they know what to do, as you said, they have that option. And we would only encourage, we simply encourage more options, whether it's to necessarily the best of our financial upside or not. That's not part of our decision making. It's about the ability. It's like a springboard. Where do you go when you're with Twin? Where can you go? And the more places that you can go, the better.
Well said. Well said. And as you mentioned, your MVP is gold. You know, there. Who knows? Maybe you'll have other things where people will stay in the eco, but they'll move some of that yield over into other assets. You know, into some other assets. You know, so there's obviously that option too that could evolve.
We tend to talk about gold a lot, and so it should, because that is, as you said, is our MVP. Our partner actually has three other metals. These are all LBMA certified, and maybe it's a good time to mention what LBMA is.
Yeah, I think we should, and then we'll talk about. I think we've gotten people really excited about Twin, and just talking about then how people can get involved. You know what the timeline is. Yeah.
Okay, so the LBMA stands for the London Market Bullion Association, and it is it's like a badge, and it's the highest of the certifications. The reason why it's also important is because we need to attract institutional adoption. So as I said earlier, the more institutions that adopt our token, the more confidence that retail will also have. So that's why they're intrinsically connected, and institutions don't buy gold per se, unless it's LBMA certified. Why? Because if they buy it and then they want to then offload their positions, then they're going to find it harder if it's not LBMA certified, because that is the sort of the Rolls Royce, if you like, of certification. And that's what subsequent or secondary or tertiary buyers of the gold would expect. What I was just mentioning is that our supplier has LBMA certified silver, platinum, and palladium. So this is going to be after we launch our platform, which is timetable for Q3 of this year with our gold token. There will be then swift succession of those metals. So that straight away we're going to be offering a diversified portfolio, because there will be four different products that Twin users are able to look into if they so wish buy, and also there would, you know, and ultimately very soon after our platform launch, be able to exchange them in between one another. So you're already starting, if you like, an ecosystem where there can be, you know, you can decide that perhaps your gold should be better off in silver, because you see that silver is taking a nice upward curve, etc. But again, this would be something that you can decide, and you do it on your own, you know, off of your own research and beliefs. What I will also point out is that the metals that we have access to, they're vaulted in the Channel Islands, which is the Channel Islands consist of predominantly Jersey and Guernsey, which is just off the coast of France. I would say, hand on heart, that the gold and the other metals are some of the best quality metals around. So not only are we providing gold on chain, but the quality, and also in terms of the quantity, how much we're able to source from our partner, are phenomenal.
That's really an important point. I think I bring this back to one of the I'd say analogies from the movie The Big Short, you know, which obviously talked about the mortgage market and everything. I think a mortgage is a loan is a lot, not a loan, you know, and mortgage-backed securities was a perfect example back in the 2008-2009 point, where just because these were mortgages, some were A paper, but right. then you had B, C, you know, all these really terrible, what's in the mortgage industry, you know, as you know, with gold, there's different ratings, and gold is not as gold as gold. Having the highest standard for mortgage-backed securities, mortgage paper, mortgage loans is the same thing as it relates to gold or precious metals or anything of high value. So I think it's very important to know that this isn't just a facade of, you know, B and C metals that are being vaulted, that you feel like you have this now digital version that you can do a lot more with, as we've described, which is amazing. But this is the creme de la creme, the top.
This is
gold.
This is right at the top. Yeah. And I mean, perhaps we need to come on and talk again, because it's a conversation in its own right. But also, something that we've also been planning is a regenerative concept, where we take gold that is not certified or LBMA certified. But especially when we look at gold that doesn't have the source, or it's dubious where it's come from. And unfortunately, there is a lot of gold that is mined where it leaves the population or the location where it's mined from. There is, unfortunately, there's child labor involved. There is so many unethical and unmoral practices going on. But what we have also been thinking about is working, for example, with LBMA. This is where we actually approached the association in London and say, well, what about if we had, say, a subsequent or a different type of classification of token? So it wouldn't be BBG, there'd be no contamination. But we could actually take a gold that is not certified. But what about if part of the funds that come in through sales of that gold could then be put aside and given back to the communities that actually need it most, because they're the ones that actually have been adversely affected by this, you know, these decades of illicit mining and where as I said, there's been so much hardship. Through that way, you can actually take gold that's still gold. So rather than just ignore it, and there's a ton of it, you can actually create an asset that's, you know, it's underneath our LBMA certified token. Nevertheless, we could bring it into a form where it's still worth something. But the more that it goes through these regenerative cycles, and I don't know how many, maybe two or three, you basically allow the gold that no one wants to touch to earn its stripes, as it were, come up the pecking order, where ultimately it might be LBMA certified, or perhaps there will be a totally new certification that would reflect that it's actually gone through this regenerative process. And the reason why that gold deserves to be bumped up is, as I said, because part of the revenues have actually then been put back to communities that actually have been done hard by, whether that is, you know, cleaning up the mess, because a lot of the gold extraction leaves a huge mess, or whether it's been building you know, critical infrastructure or schools or providing medicines. So this is something that is, you know, is also to allow your followers to understand, is that we are very, very ambitious, It doesn't detract anything from what we are, what we're doing. But there is so much, and this is again thanks to blockchain, where there's so much we are able to do to bring in, again, much needed novel ideas to for the betterment, you know, in general.
That's amazing. Yeah, I didn't expect this. I know you're very ambitious, but yeah, this is definitely a really interesting aspect as well. The regenerative side it just makes sense. And I think this goes back to what I was saying is most people don't have a problem and distressed assets, so to speak. I mean, it's not really a distressed asset, but you know, like if people think about a lot of distressed assets, as long as you know what you're investing in and you know what the returns are, then it makes perfect sense. And again, this goes back to the transparency of your project, the transparency of DeFi and what transparency means in DeFi and blockchain, which is amazing. And I think being able to give back and being able to use that as, like you said, move things up the pecking order. You know, I think that's I would like to unpack that at some point in the future as you continue on, for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've already had some indicative conversations because, you know, certain big corporations also need to adopt a philanthropic policy. I mean, there's no point in pretending that they also don't get tax breaks. They do, but nevertheless, they have these policies that they adopt. So you know, we feel very confident when the time is right to really work more on this idea. That we would also have, if you like, corporate sponsorship coming on board, because you know their name will then be put to, you know, added to the mix of this great initiative, where they will be able to say that we are also helping, you know, bring gold that is, as you said, a stressed asset into a point of play that it's no longer stressed, and it's then widely recognized as being fully tradable and legitimate. All the while, there's been some good stuff going on, which, you know, that's, you know, if I'm able to add that to Twin's legacy, that'd be great.
Amazing. So I think you mentioned about Q3 this year looking to launch. So maybe we'll get into a little bit about some of the things all the listeners, you know, want to know, you know, when token, when launch, those types of things.
What all the important stuff.
To some, yes, for sure.
Oh, yeah, fire away.
So I think you mentioned Q3. I know you have an exciting T-1. You have a launch partner, one of the launch pads. I don't know if you have multiple lined up, but
there will be more, but we announced it yesterday. So yes, correct. For our public sale. Correct. Yeah.
Perfect. So yeah, maybe we'll talk a little bit about public sale, how people get involved, and maybe even if there's something you want to preface before talking about the public sale. But you know, we've obviously done a great job, and particularly you, in just describing the project and really what this opportunity looks like. I mean, I think it's been very clear through this conversation that not only are you doing everything that you can to provide options and to provide a safe vehicle into one of the best assets you can purchase in a new and digital manner, but what the Twin Token is and how people get involved so that they can take advantage of this opportunity.
So we recently closed a very limited seed round. We put that it went out on our socials recently. So I'm delighted and very grateful for those that contributed and came in. So we raised just over $1 million in that seed round. What we are now wholeheartedly planning, and with the time frame being mid-May, so just a few weeks away, is that we would then be going into our private token sale. And Lisa, as you mentioned at the start, she's my co-founder. She's head of, she's the CMO, and she's in charge of now putting the, she's also the one that's setting me up with you, Travis, and we're now on a heavy drive to get as many people to know that we are now soon to launch into our private sale. As I said, it'll be mid-May. So please keep looking out on, whether it be in Discord or X or even on LinkedIn and so on and so forth. From the private sale, we then will be looking to run the public sale, which is, as you mentioned, one of the launch pads for T-1. And that is earmarked for mid, perhaps third week of June, so about a month after private sale. And then swiftly after public sale will be the token generation event for our Twix token. That's the token that we're selling at the private and at the public sale. And that will be end of June. Following from our TGE, we then will be fully focused on getting the platform deployment ready, operational commencement with our gold token, BBG, which as you, I mentioned before, or earlier on, is Q3 of this year.
Okay.
So it's a private, public TGE launch.
Perfect. And what's the relationship, just so listeners understand, the BVG versus the TVVIN token and how that relationship works and what exposure each one brings and what each means?
So VVG is the two V's in twin. So there we come back to the twin analogy. So it's VVG for gold. Silver will be VVS, platinum VVP, palladium VVPL, and so on and so forth. So the V will always be the constant in front of the of the other letters that will then represent the asset that is backing that particular token. These are our, if you like, our products. These are our commodity tokens. These are the real-world asset tokens. But Twin also has a utility platform token, which is Twix. And that is the token that we are selling now at private and public sale. And the TGE that I've just mentioned is Twix's token generation event. And it's a Cardano native token, so a CNT. The reason for one of the main reasons, which is a financial incentivization reason for holding Twix, let's go back to the digital vaults. If you, Travis, wanted to put your gold token into the vault, so we can take that with your permission, of course, take that asset and work it in the markets, as we discussed earlier. The key to be able to come into the vault is Twix. So there will be, and we will be announcing, because we're now been working, we have brought on board a quant, someone who is now devising the, in this case, the specific ratio of how much Twix proportionately will you need to hold in order for the amount of gold token that you want to put into our digital vault. So that is now work in progress, and we will come out with that once we have a, it's not a straightforward ratio and calculation, but once we have, you know, sort of tested it and made sure that it's, of course, fair, but also that it's sustainable, we will then be announcing that. But the Twix that you need, if you like, which is the key that unlocks the door into the vault, that Twix is then locked up with your gold. So it's not like it's lost. It's just that it's the requirement that you have a certain amount of Twix in order to come in. Mm-hmm. What's also important is that in terms of the APY, and this is because of regulation, the APY that we then pay back, subject to successful investment, say in T-bills, as we touched on, the actual asset that we pay you back in is Twix. So when you then receive the additional Twix because you've been locked up in our digital vault, that is what is returned to you. We like this because you can then decide to simply then just hold that Twix, that earned Twix, because you think it's an asset that you want to keep on growing. But you can also take that Twix and then convert it into our gold token or our silver token or wherever you want to convert that. You know, maybe it's outside of Twin. Maybe you're on a DEX and you convert that Twix into another token that we have a pairing with, for example, into ADA, for example. So again, it's, you know, I think it's becoming clear that it's all about the options that you earn. You earn the Twix for going into the vault, and for us then using your gold to work the market. And then when you have it, it's up to you how you want to, or what you want to do with it, simply hold it or exchange it. Did I miss the latter part of the question, or
no, I think you covered it well. I think in summary, I think if I understood that correctly, I mean, obviously it's your ecosystem token, Twix.
Yes.
That it's And you explained really well the utilities of it. It's not just a static token. It's access to the vault. It's a way that you can purchase the gold, silver, platinum, theoretically any of the precious metals you offer in the future. It's also a way, if you're just watching and you want exposure to the Twin project, you know, ultimately, you know, this will be listed on DEXs like MinSwap and Tap Tools and in places where Twin will be listed,
right,
to just get exposure to the project in general. Your version of essentially of staking, if you will, it almost has like a staking component in the sense that you're pairing it with your gold or silver, for example, right? Is that?
It's needed to fulfill the mechanism. It's needed to actually see you, going back to where you hold a gold in the physical format. And a year later, it's still static. This is actually part of the solution for actually taking an asset and making it fluid, so it's not static. Right. So it actually can earn. It can actually earn passive income. What I will also mention, which is really important, is that the APY that we pay back after a certain point, and we hope quite soon, because that will show that there is actually there's a lot of demand for this. Twin itself will be buying Twix off the market at market rate, so this is also going to be helping to keep the price of Twix at a sustained level. It is also part of our deflationary model. So it's not simply that we would indefinitely just mint Twix to then pay the APY, because that would be disastrous for tokenomics. But actually, Twin itself is going out. Actually, in practice, it will be our foundation that will be continuously buying Twix off the market, holding it, if you like, in a treasury, which is then and it's those Twix that are then used for the APY that users have earned.
That's great, and I think that's an important thing to note, is just how well thought out the tokenomics are, deflationary, and also, you know, I think from just a visual standpoint, listeners understanding and viewers, that's why the unique spelling of Twin in the first place, with the two V's we keep coming back to, is that ultimately the Twix token is the one Twin, and the gold is the other Twin, and that's how they work together. Like you said, that's how they represent each other in the digital and the physical world.
Yeah, I mean, and what we love about the two Bs is that you can apply it in so many different ways. So, TradFi, DeFi. I mean, there's another, there are so many examples of where the twin analogy makes sense. And also it helps people that, are new to this to really understand what we're doing. What we've seen is that, especially someone who is completely sort of fresh to the whole concept, explain it to me like a 5-year-old. The right. ability to actually sort of use the two Vs, then suddenly it's widely understood, and yeah, that's going to be great for our brand, especially as we expand into other markets. From a communication point of view, we've got such a strong tool to be able to get our message across and for people to understand what we're doing.
Yep, well said. So I think as we're closing out, or anything that I forgot to ask you or didn't mention, or some alpha or anything that you want to share for listeners?
We will be announcing our DAO. I don't have an actual time frame per se, but we're working as soon as we know that we're, especially after TGE, that's definitely on the cards to push and get set up as quickly as possible. We've already taken the steps to incorporate a foundation in the Cayman Islands. This is a special type of vehicle that we've incorporated. It comes under something called the Companies Foundation 2017. It's a piece of legislation. It's what it is in a nutshell is that there is a footprint because we are incorporated. Yet one of the reasons, or one of its abilities, or this type of specific company, is to interact and to listen to a DAO. So as I made very clear, we're talking to regulators. Mentioning a DAO to regulators is like, I won't tell you the type of response I've had so far, but it's essential, especially in our sector, and that we have a DAO. The reason also why it's essential is that Twin will be having a two-way conversation. We want to be able to talk to our members, or AKA Twix holders. And that is also going to be, by holding Twix, you can then be part of the membership base or the DAO. That is also another utility and rationale for holding Twix. So when the DAO makes a decision, it could be a decision that, let's say there's a vote. It could be a vote on trading fees, or it could be a vote on what are the real world asset or sector should we be focusing on, for example. So we can actually take the temperature from what our community wants. Are we thinking about agro commodities, for example, cocoa or coffee? Are we thinking about other metals like copper? Are we thinking about intellectual property? Which direction? This is going to be so much fun because, you know, we can of course come with our input, and we will, but it's going to be also very important that we hear what others think are the important new territories to march into. So when the DAO is making its decisions, because it's autonomous, and because we need to satisfy regulators that we have also listened to them, this particular type of entity that we've incorporated now in Cayman, because it's got a specific or it's designed so it can listen to the DAO, the decisions that come from the DAO, of course, they then get looked at. If something is not quite manageable for A or B, then the entity goes back to the DAO and says, okay, we hear what you're saying, but this could be something that we need you to look at again, or whatever it may be. But it allows for the autonomy to remain intact for the DAO, but also where whatever decisions it makes to be formally ratified and executed and deployed through an entity that has a footprint, and that's what regulators like.
That's great. That's a really unique way to set it up. And I think that is quite a bit of, we'll see, I believe DAOs are the future. And I'm sure I don't have to tell you, of course, many of our listeners, but you know, having a voice in projects just is another thing we've been talking about through this whole conversation of options. It's you're able to give your voice and give your input so that project has options, and even you're presenting options to that project as a group. And, you know, as you mentioned, because you will be very institutional heavy from investment, you do have that ability to kind of set, essentially vet votes to see, like, is this reasonable? Can we actually execute on this, you know, on this vote or this interest? Yeah.
And it also means that, you know, because, you know, talks with regulators never stop. It's ongoing. For the duration of my life, I will always be where there is going to be, you know, ongoing talks, because that's how it works. It's not a one-stop shop. So again, it's all about giving confidence. I'm a great fan of adapting regulation when regulation is right. Nobody wants to be part of anything that is handling monies that are you know, basically dirty or shouldn't be in the system at all. This is something that also is something I'm very passionate about allowing where it's allowed to happen, but at the same time you need those checks and balances. You mentioned institutions. If we don't have sort of, you know, certain checks and balances, again, institutions won't touch us with a barge pole, because, you know, it's just so. But this is the way that. It is developing. Of course, there are some people that have a very utopian idea, but that's, of course, we just have to agree to disagree, and they have their point of view. We are taking the very best, as we see it, from the traditional side, and D5, but importantly, adapting it to make sure it's compliant. That is really the point I want your followers to take note on. Compliance will always be and is such a critical point of how we're developing our platform. I suppose the best way to put it is that we can have our cake and eat it. We can have a DAO, but also we don't have to then we can be fully transparent when we're speaking to the authorities that yes, we have a DAO, but who's actually managing the DAO? Who's looking after it, and who's making sure that whatever the decisions that are rolled out are actually allowed in the first place?
Yeah, and I do feel like that's my own personal opinion is this is a structure that's going to work best. I'm not necessarily a fan of DAOs where it's complete autonomy in the sense of everybody gets everything happens regardless of the decentralized vote. I think having leaders and that structure at the top that helps to direct those initiatives is always going to be important. I mean, the history tells us that. So I think that's a great way that you've set that up, and it's great that you've already moving in that direction. So, well, this has been great, Thomas. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, thank you so much. I mean, I'm sorry we went over your time, but you know, there's so much to cover, and I would love to come back and talk more. If anyone is watching. Wants to get in touch, you know, please do that through our X page, Discord, LinkedIn. So we're just delighted that we had such a, that you gave more time than I thought was being allocated to really get the messages out there.
Well, hey, I like to just keep this in flow with where the vibe is going, and we really had a lot to cover, and you know, this was really exciting. So I enjoyed it. Thank you for your time, and I'll certainly break this up also and give some highlights so that people are able to consume this, you know, in different pieces. But it's tvvin.com is the website. Again, that's Thomas right. Tallis, co-founder right. and CEO. And we'll have you back as you continue to move through your private sales and token generation events, et cetera, and continue to get the word out.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Travis.
Thank you. And that's a wrap for this episode of the Real World Assets Show. Thanks for joining us on our journey to transform the future of finance, one asset and token at a time. For more insights, visit us on the web at rwa.builders. I'm Travis John, and I'll see you on the next episode.